Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I'm going to direct your attention this morning to pick up with a thought. Actually, the bulletin lays the text scripture to start the morning, Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he chose for his inheritance. Now you may read that and say, well, that's talking about Israel. And it is. But it also includes us. Because the nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. And there are no individuals. None of us would have come to God had he not chosen us. We did not choose him. He chose us. So this scripture is absolutely applicable to us as a nation. Because our founders came here to worship God. That's what they came for. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. Did any of you study American literature when you were in school? Anybody? Well, we have some younger scholars that are here as well. Some younger scholars. Fred's back there in the back. He's not quite as young as some of the younger scholars, right, Fred? You may not remember this. Any of you remember Robert Frost? American poet, right? I wonder if today in secular education, if they study this poem that he wrote, The Road Not Taken. I was in a Christian school, so this piece of poetry became a very important point of study. It says something like this. You can look it up, and I would encourage you to do so. The road not taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other just as fair, and having perhaps a better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though, as for the passing, there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first path for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubt it if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Have you noticed our president talking about the importance of coming back to God, rededicating our nation to God? I don't know if he gave a speech last night. I didn't stay up to see. I know there was poor weather in Washington. He did very late. I did have the opportunity to catch what he had to say at Mount Rushmore. And I applaud the fact, some might question where he is as a personal follower of Christ. That's not any of our job to judge whether or not he's in the kingdom. I'm glad that many who know him personally close say he is definitely a born-again believer, and I see fruit in his life. Most certainly there's a fruit in his life of courage to stand up against evil, which many even in the church have not had. So I do applaud that, and I thank God that he gives reference to the importance of our nation's not only history of being a God-fearing nation, but of the importance of us continuing to honor God. And even at Mount Rushmore, he acknowledged those who had a strong faith. But not only has our president looked back and applauded faith of those who laid the foundations, but I've heard him talking about the next 250 years, right? And so when he talks about the next 250 years, if Jesus tarries, right? If Jesus tarries, and many of you would say, how could that be? I don't know if that will be. But I appreciate the fact that the president is saying, for the next 250 years, we would like the blessing that we've had the first 250 years continue. And not just continue, but actually increase in our future. And I believe most of us this morning would feel that way. I have a bit of a prayer guide that I go to about once a year. It's by Derek Prince. Any of you heard of Derek Prince? This book's entitled Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. It's one of the best books that I've ever read on prayer and fasting. And it always motivates me to continue with faith praying for our nation. He starts this book by giving an excerpt that was written by President Abraham Lincoln, slightly before my time and yours as well. I know Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, is Rachel's favorite. And when we have been in Washington and went to the memorial, the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, we spent some time there reading some of the things that he has said that are recorded on the wall. This was actually released March the 30th, 1863. And what he submitted, I'm going to share it with you. I don't normally read a bunch of books during the morning message, but I will share a bit of that this morning. Whereas the Senate of the United States, devotingly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. If you remember, we just recently celebrated and will continue to celebrate Days of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer is a really big event. It was established in this manner. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord's. And inasmuch as we know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, you remember the civil war, the nation was divided. The civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, in wealth and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. This was in the 1800s. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do by this proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then humbly, in the hope authorized by divine teaching, that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings, no less than the pardon of our national sins and restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. In witness thereof, whereof, I hereto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed. Abraham Lincoln. What was he saying? He was saying that we had founders, we look back 250 years ago, that recognize you do not get to a place you want to be unless the Lord is your God. There is no other route, there is no other road, there is no other way. I don't need to preach that sermon to convince you that that's the truth. I did a little research looking at this poem of Robert Frost, and I don't know, I'm not sure that I've ever went back to this since high school when I was in American literature. But when I did some research and I came across, AI wanted to give me some insight on this poem. And I thought, oh, okay, well, let's see what AI, artificial intelligence, which actually would have no intelligence if there wasn't living intelligence. Because AI, actually, the artificial part is that you don't put it together, but it's people who did the research that it runs out and grabs and brings back. So I was curious to see what the opinion of AI would be today about Robert Frost's poem. And it said this, that it's the general accepted opinion of the order of poets today that really what Robert Frost was saying, that we all have more than one road available to us, and that it really doesn't matter which road we take, and that it's more about writing our own story as we would like to see it. However, that was not the interpretation that I came up with even as a high school student. Because back in the day, Robert Frost was talking about the reality of every one of our lives where we only have two choices as far as which road we're going to take. Now, we may have more than one occasion to make that decision, thankfully, amen. Because many of us have chosen to maybe wander down the wrong road a ways, and along that trail, thankfully, there are some exit points where we can get onto the right road. But I believe what Robert Frost was trying to say is that I'm thankful that I made some decisions to not take the route that most people took. I didn't take the most well-traveled. I didn't take the road that seemed most people would go down. Instead, I chose to take the road. The grass was overgrown. It looked as if no one had passed that way in quite a while. But he finishes off by saying, "What a difference it made in my life." The Word of God says something like that when it actually says to us that there are two roads, and one road is wide, and one road is what?
Narrow.
And many go down the wide road. Many travel the wide road. I believe Robert Frost was familiar with the Word of God. Many travel that road. Why? Because it's popular. It's the road that has the flashing lights and the demanding charge to our senses to experience life in the natural, in the flesh, as much as it can be done. But then the Word of God says there's also a narrow road, and few there be that find it. Now, I don't believe that that means that there's going to be three of us in heaven. Heaven's going to be well populated, but it does mean that most will find their way on the wide road for a long time or a period of time before they are awakened and say, "This isn't working." Thinking about our nation and the comments of wanting for America to be blessed for the next 250 years as we celebrate, and this is a big deal. If this nation were to exist another 250 years and be blessed, there's only one way it's going to be blessed, and it's going to be blessed by going back to the roots and the foundations that were originally laid and restoring them and once again establishing those foundations for our future. And that's important for us today as well. There is a scripture that's really important in this whole discussion. And I'd love to go there, but we're going to go to another passage, so I don't really have time to. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, there's a scripture that basically emphasizes the importance of a decision today. If any of you have ever went to buy a used car at a used car lot, anybody ever had that joyful experience? Today is the day of the deal. Right now I can offer you this. The general manager has now approved this one-time offer. And the more they talk, the more I want to run. I don't like dealing with dead-end decisions where I got to do it right now. But you know what the Word of God says about the roads and about the ways? It actually says that today is a day of decision. It's a little more clear. It says today is the day of salvation. So even if someone in this room or someone watching on live stream would stop before the morning is over and this message is completed and the Holy Spirit would tap on your door and you would say, "I've been traveling the wrong road. I have been on the wide path. I have simply followed my own flesh, my own desires, and I followed the way of the world and not the way of God. And I recognize I am a long ways from where I started." But this scripture says it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for America. And it's not too late for your family. It's not too late for your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, put whoever in there. It's not too late for them, because if they're alive today, today is still a day of opportunity and a day of salvation. But there's no promise that the next day will come or tomorrow will come or even 8 hours from now will come. I thought as I looked in the mirror and I'm watching that car roll, I thought 1 minute you can be completely comfortable and think you're in control, and a minute later everything is out of control. This is why we're messengers of life. We bring the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that God gives us free will and free choice. And when you look at the first covenant and you see what the choice was, I set before you today both life and death. And God says, I want you to choose life. And so this is necessary for our nation on this 250th anniversary to recognize that we need to give God the credit and the glory. And we need to make sure that we do everything in our power to build on a solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. We have elections coming. Decisions must be made. And it's important that we find our way with those. It seems like a year ago, it was only, I think, 3 weeks ago, you brothers preached three awesome messages. And I told Jasmine if I'd been gone 4 weeks, she could have preached. But we are truly blessed. It seems like a long time since I shared with you that God had put in my heart that we needed to spend a few weeks talking about keys to a blessed life. Keys to a blessed life. That Sunday morning we were in the Psalms and we started, and most of you could quote it, blessed or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth, join me, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Blessed is the man, that includes you ladies as well, who doesn't sit, stand, walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Be aware of the importance of influences. If you're around ungodly, unrighteous people, and you're too comfortable there, you might need to ask the question, am I here as a missionary? Am I influencing the darkness by extinguishing it by the light that is in my life? Or am I being impacted by the darkness, and is my light being dimmed by that influence? I want to take you with me to heaven. No, the bus isn't outside. I want to take you as you sit there and I stand here. I want to take you with me to heaven, and I want you to ponder with me some of the questions, some of the thoughts. For I have an interview request that I've set up with one of these patriarchs. Actually, I ask you to go to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, and I think for context, I may start with verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. It was by what? Faith is the answer. It's by faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child. What kind of a child? Unusual. Now you may not like that word. Would you like unique better? Would you like special better? Would you like better to say God gave them one and only, none other have been made like your child? Would you like that better? Could you put yourself there and say, I'm one of those two. There aren't two of me. And somebody might say, amen, if I'm saying there's only one of me. Say, thank God, one's enough. But this is the case of every one of us, where we are uniquely made in the image of God. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid of the devil and the demons that were ruling their nation. They were not afraid. You say, well, my Bible says they were not afraid of what the king might do. But they're going to disobey the king. And so the king is going to order things that are unrighteous, ungodly, and wicked. And they are not afraid of that demonic, satanic spirit that's at work in their nation, because they believe in God. Faith, right? It's by faith. And they have a very special child. So they're willing to stand up for his life. Look at verse 24. It was by faith that Moses, who? Moses. By faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. That took some faith. I told you I want to take you to an interview with Moses this morning, a patriarch. Because he made some decisions that were not broad road decisions. They were narrow road decisions. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give him. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king. And Moses kept right on going because he kept his eyes on him who is invisible. Moses.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Dee Dee. Please join our Until We Meet Again broadcast every Wednesday at 2 a.m. for a fellowship, praise and worship, encouragement found only in the Holy Scriptures.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.